We are starting our first lesson of Noel, and I'm excited about this series, as you might know. I will say that this time of putting it together and beginning this process of teaching is a little different than the last times that I have any other time, in fact, that I've talked about this, because now there's a book involved. And the book, many of you are reading it, and I thank you for that, and some of you have written reviews online, and I appreciate that very much. Encourage it, anyone else that wants to, it's a blessing to us for sure. But in the process of that, I was praying and thinking about, okay, how do we bring out a concept where the entire concept is brought out in the book in a way that is far deeper than I would have the capacity or time to develop it here on a Sunday morning. Now, I'm fine with being here till 6. I'm almost here to that time anyway. But I'm not sure if you all want to be here till then. So how do we condense it down? And so what we're doing is we're going to take the different parts of this book and different parts of this idea, this concept, I believe, from the Word of God, and take portions of it. The book is divided into four parts. And so in that, we will take portions of that and kind of dive deeper into particular points that I think may be more difficult for us to bring into our own lives than maybe other points would be. And that is how I plan to try to approach this time. And I pray that I ask that you pray for us as we develop this and know exactly what the Lord would have us to say. But we're talking about the life of Mary. And as we look at the life of Mary, we're seeing one who has really personified the bringing out of destiny from her life in a way that no one else has, no one else really could. If you tell me that God is calling you to birth the Savior today, I'm going to question you on that. I believe the Lord has called you to birth something from your life, but the Bible says there is no other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So we cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ. So if God has called you to birth the Savior and the Savior has already been born, then that means what you're birthing isn't the Savior. But Mary did birth the Savior. And so this is an entirely unique moment that I think has great, great understanding to reveal into our lives. Because like few others, she fulfilled the destiny that she was called and created to fulfill. Now, a few years ago, Christy and I and our family, we were really going through a difficult time. And we were approaching Christmas, and I was trying to figure out, all right, what are we supposed to do? And I was praying, Lord, let us know, you know, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, where are we in life, why are these things happening, and so on. And as this was occurring, as we were approaching Christmas, I began to read, and I read in the book of Luke, and read the story of Mary, and the birth of Christ. And as I did, suddenly the scripture came alive to me in a way that it had never done before. And I pray that happens to you, that as you're reading scripture, suddenly something sparks and suddenly you see it in a way that you've never seen it before, and it impacts you in a way that it's never impacted you before. And I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, as it brings to light certain truths. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And so here we are reading the Word, and suddenly truth opens up in our life in a way we hadn't recognized it. And that's what happened in the story of Mary. And it was almost like God was saying, well, here's where you are, and here's what's going on, and here's how it works. And so that's what the Noel book is about. That's what the series is about. But when we start applying it to our life, we have to apply it not from the end, but from the beginning. We have to start at the beginning. And it begins with understanding the purpose of our creation. Now, if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so. It helps us to retain what we've learned and to reference back to it again. But when we start looking at that, let's open the ball with the Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, this is a big statement in anybody's life. I think that if I was standing there and the angel said something like that to me, I would have a lot of questions. I think I would be wondering, how could these things be? And we know that Mary does ask one question. But ultimately, what God was saying to Mary is, Mary, I've created you, and now I'm asking you to bring something forth from your life. And that gives us our big idea today. And the big idea is that you were created to be creative. You were created to be creative. God did not put you here on this planet for no purpose and no reason. He put you here on this planet so that something would be birthed from your life. And maybe you're sitting here thinking right now, wait a minute, he's not talking to me because I'm not a creative person. I'm just not that creative of a person. So it can't be me that he's speaking to. And I would say that we just learned in the series Wide Open that in order for us to experience the benefit of something, we must be open to that being reality in our life. And so by saying, I am not a creative person, we are now putting ourselves outside of the realm of creativity being activated in our lives. We're shutting that down. And I think some of the struggle is that in our culture, we think that a few are able to do extraordinary things, and that the rest of us are not. But the truth is that every one of us have unique gifts and unique talents. In this room, we have people who are creative artists. And you can create things that the rest of us just wonder at. I can't believe, how in the world could that be? Some of us might be creative inventors. You look at something and you see an answer to a problem. And so you invent something. Maybe there's a creative legal mind that can wade through the minutiae of law and come up with an answer to a problem. Maybe it's a creative medical mind that sees a way that something good can come out of a tragic situation. Maybe in this room right here we have authors or musicians. I know we have several people in our church that have written books. And we have people in this room that write music and play music and the lyricists that come up with the words that are put to music. And it just creation comes forth from them. We have incredible financial managers that can help us to understand where we're at financially and plot a course for where we need to be so that our future can be as secure as anything in this world is. And that's an awesome thing. Then we may have some creative bookkeepers here, and stay away from them. The thing that makes someone creative is that creative people look beyond what is, seeing what could be. And that's exactly what Gabriel did to Mary. He said, Mary, I want you to see what could be. You could birth the Savior of the people Israel, whose throne and kingdom will have no end. And he'll sit on the throne of his father David. Because Scripture tells us clearly that Mary was a descendant of David. And so he said, this is what could be. And the question is, will you say yes to that happening in your life? And I believe that through this series, and as we talk about these things, that there will be possibilities that arise before you. And I'm praying that as those possibilities arise, you will recognize them. And then I'm praying and believing that you'll have the courage to say yes when you step into that. I will tell you that I personally am living right now in my destiny. I believe that I'm living in my destiny. And it's a beautiful place to be. Not because I'm all that in a bag of chips, but it's an awesome place to be because I stand in an authority that I could not have if I did not know why I was created and what I was meant to do. There's an authority and a confidence that comes once you understand why you were created and what you are meant to do. You now can speak with a level of authority that maybe you wouldn't have any other time, but you have it once you know that you're operating within your God-designed destiny. And I offer you two thoughts today to help us grab all of this. And thought number one is this: you were made in the image of God, and God is creative. You were made in the image of God, and God is creative. In fact, the first thing that we learn about God is that He's creative. First, we learn that God is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." God, that word God there is now assumes that we understand that God exists. And then the very next word is, in the beginning, God created. The first thing we know about God is that He created the heavens and the earth. He's creative by nature. Before we knew about God's love, before we knew about God's power, before we knew about how God would interact with humanity, before we knew anything else about God, we knew He was creative. And that's important because when we get down to verse number 28 of Genesis chapter 1, He starts talking about our creation. And our creation is different than any other area of creation that He operated in. Verse number 26 said, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. It's important and interesting to me that the scripture says that male, that's me, and female, that's she, were made in the image of God. And I think it's important because it does not say that God created Adam and Adam was made in the image of God and then Eve came along after that. It says that God created them, male and female, created He them. And so it's interesting to me that God in His self, in His own divine power and authority, and I'll get into this in point number two, but in Himself, He was able to create all things. Creation came from He alone as He spoke it into the world. But creation in our world comes from them. And it's also important to understand that this is why there isn't the man is all that and the woman is a little nothing over here, but she's powerful and has authority and has privilege in Christ as well, because male and female, He created them, and it was them that was created in the image of God. He says in verse number 28, "Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." This is interesting to me because before we know anything else about the created man and woman, we know three things that God told them to do. We don't even know their names yet. We don't even know if they know their names yet. But we do know that God wanted three things in His interaction with the man and woman here. The first thing was that He blessed them. He said, "I want to put my blessing on you. Those who are in my image, I want to put my blessing on you." The second thing He did was He commanded fruitfulness or creation from them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. So from before we even know that their names are Adam and Eve, we know that God has called them to create something within their life together. And then ultimately, he commanded order. He said, govern the earth. So we have people on different sides of the issues of our day. Some people are really into protect the earth and save the earth and care for the planet. And some people are, you know, humanity is the most important, and humanity is the ones that, you know, whatever we have to do, let's protect humanity. And I would just encourage us that it's both and. God put humanity in a place to govern the earth, but the earth was to be governed by humanity. So all of it is true. Humanity is different than the animals and the plants, but humanity is charged with governing the earth. So here's Mary, young lady in the little town of Nazareth. And she's looking at this angel, and he says to her, hey, this is what's going to happen with you. And now Mary was made in the image of God, and now God is asking her to bring forth the visible image of the invisible God. Now, why would I say it like that? I would say it like that because Colossians 1 says it like that. He says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. God is invisible. The man has seen the Father. But now God is saying, I'm going to produce my Son into the world who is going to be the visible image of the invisible God. And he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So if you want to know who is in charge of the whole world, Christ is in charge of the whole world. If you want to know who's in charge of our country, Christ is in charge of our country. If you want to know who's in charge of this church, Christ is in charge of this church. If you want to know who's in charge of your life and mine, Christ is in charge of your life and mine, if we allow him to be. He's in charge over all of it because he's supreme over all creation. And now Mary is being asked to bring forth and create out of her life the image of the invisible God. The visible representation of the invisible God. This is massive. This is huge. This calling on Mary's life, it is unlike anything she's ever experienced or frankly any of us have ever experienced. But what is important to understand is this: there's nothing particularly special about Mary. She wasn't unique in the place that she was born. She wasn't unique in her name or her parentage. She wasn't unique in any way that we can see. In fact, the scripture in our culture today, beauty, physical beauty, is highlighted above almost anything else in our culture right now. And we don't even know if Mary was pretty or not. We don't. In fact, we know that Jesus, I know in all the images of Jesus and the paintings and stuff, he's seen as this really handsome guy, but the Bible says that he wasn't anything special to look at. It wasn't his looks that caused people to look toward him. It was his power, his authority, and who he was as Savior. So if Jesus got his looks from Mary, I don't know. I'm sure I'll get emails about this, but I just say it. This is what this is all we can surmise from Scripture. Okay? The only attribute possessed by Mary, identified in Scripture, is a willingness to say yes when God asked her to bring forth something unique, to birth something unique. And Mary accepted that God could bring something world-changing from her. That's what made Mary so special. Our world, our culture, is tearing itself apart right now because we're trying to say that everybody is exactly the same and yet everybody is incredibly special at the same time. And it's tearing us apart. Everybody's having problems with everybody now. Everybody's offended by everybody now. The fact is that we are all unique, created by our Father. We are special because we are His children. And we have an opportunity to birth something unique from our lives. It's not just in who we are, it's who we're connected to. And because we're His child, because you're His child, you are special, you are unique. And you can stand in confidence in that. You were created to be creative. You were made in the image of God, and God is creative. And Mary believed that that was true in her life, and God can do the same thing in your life if you can believe Him too. And that leads us to thought number two. That God will use what you have, and then He'll give you what you need. I mentioned this earlier, that God in Himself, He spoke the worlds into existence, and then He provided, He created all that was necessary for His word to come to pass. But He stands alone in that realm. No one else can do what God can do in that way. He said, "Let there be light," and suddenly all that was in Him burst forth from Him, and it became light. He said, "Let there be," and suddenly dry land appeared, and so on. And He was able to create from within His own being that which needed to be in order for His word to come to pass. But you and I are not able to do that in the same exact way. So here's Moses. Moses is called by God. God is speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. And whether you believe that's a literal or figurative, either way, when bushes talk, we should listen. I didn't mean that in reference to the president that we are honoring today and so on. And I just, when I said it, I felt bad about saying it like that. So, but God did speak to Moses in this way. And so I've kind of messed myself up a little bit. But Moses is saying, "God, I can't do the thing that you're asking me to do. You're giving me this vision for something that I'm looking at me and I'm looking at the world and I can't do it." And God says to Moses, "Hey, what's in your hand?" And Moses said, "A staff." Pretend it's not a microphone stand. And God says to Moses, "Throw it down." So God throws it down. Moses throws it down. And when he threw it down, it became a snake. Now, keep an eye on this really close if you don't mind. And so it becomes a snake, and then God says to Moses, "I want you to pick up the snake from the tail," which anybody with sense knows you don't do. You pick it up by its head so it can't swing back and bite you. But Moses said, "Okay, I have the faith. If you can turn that sucker into a snake, I believe that you can keep me from getting bitten." And so he picks it up and it becomes a rod again in his hand. Now, did God do that for Moses because He was trying to say, "Hey, look at the tricks I can do. Hey, look at this. You know, now pick up that rock and throw it over there and watch, I'll turn it into a turtle." He doesn't do that. When God does stuff, He does it for a purpose. The reason why He turned that staff into a snake and then back into a staff again was because He was trying to show Moses, "Whatever you have in your hand, if you trust me with it, I can do things that you can't imagine with the things that you think are common and normal and just, you know, it's just, that's just an everyday item. And I can take that and do something spectacular with it." And my encouragement to you today is, don't focus on what you lack in life, but recognize what's in your hand. Recognize what's in your hand. Sometimes we look at other people's lives and we think, "I wish I had what they have in their hand. Look at the checkbook that they have in their hand. Look at the car that they have in their hand. Look at the house. Look at the family. Look at the, what, pick it. Look at the education. Look at what they have in their hand." And we become envious of the thing that others hold in their hands. And we fail to recognize that others are looking at us in the exact same way. They're looking at you saying, "I wish I had what they had." And I think that's the enemy's way of keeping us distracted from what we do have and offering what we do have to God so that he can do something spectacular with it. Moses had a rod. Mary had a womb. And God said, if you'll trust me with your womb, I'll bring something from your womb that you can't imagine. It will blow your mind what can come from your womb, Mary. And I encourage you that maybe with something that you've taken for granted, in fact, had plans for. Mary already had plans for her womb. She was engaged to Joseph, and he was a craftsman, a carpenter. And she had figured that she was going to be bringing the next generations of craftsmen or wives of craftsmen into the world. She had a plan for her womb, and it all looked like it was going to go that direction. And then God stepped in. And I wonder if you have something in your hand that you've got plans for right now. That God is saying, if you'll trust me with that, I'll do something with it that you can't imagine. I'll build a destiny out of it that you can't imagine. The question is, what has God given you that he's asking you for? What has God given you that he's asking you for? And I have some questions for you to ponder today. Question number one is, do I recognize what I have, or am I focused on what I lack? Can you see what you have in life? Do you recognize what's in your hand as having value? Secondly, do I trust God to do something special with what I offer him? I experience this regularly. Because sometimes I'm standing up here speaking to you and in just all openness. Sometimes I walk down there and I wait to pray. If anybody wants to pray, I'll be down there in a minute. And sometimes I stand down there and Christy hands me a mint and she hands me a water. A water's for my throat, a mint's for you. And I whisper to her so you can't hear me or see me. I say, did that make any sense at all? And sometimes she'll say, yeah. Actually, normally she says yes. But she has said no in times past. So I know that she will. But afterwards, I'll go to the lobby and somebody will walk up to me and say, Pastor, I just want you to know that when you said this, this, and this, it really impacted my life. And I know that this is true, or that's, you know, what God's called me to, or whatever the thing may be. And I'm standing there looking at you and saying, thank you very much. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I did not say that at all. I think they had headphones in their ears and were listening to another sermon. And the only thing I can figure is that between what I have in my hands, the preparation of my heart, the preparation of my life, and what I offer you here on a regular basis, the only thing I can figure is that between my lips and your ears, the Holy Spirit does something beautiful with what's being offered. And it blows my mind what he can do with just words that are being offered and saying, God, just do something with it. I trust you to do something. Are you willing to say yes when God offers you the opportunity to give life to a God-designed destiny? Are you willing to say yes? Asking you to think about these things as I pray for us this morning. Can you trust him? Do you know that you were created to be creative? That you are made in the image of God? And that if you'll give him what you have, he'll give you what you need. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that we can feel the Holy Spirit present in this room right now. I thank you that you're teaching us and guiding us and leading us. I thank you for your word that lets us know our creation, and the strength of it. Thank you for being our Father, our Creator, our Lord. And I pray that you give us the courage to step into all that you have for us. We may not understand it, but I'm asking you to give us the courage to step into it when the opportunity arises. I know what you have before us as far as what we're teaching, but I don't know what you have for each individual as they walk through this in their life. I'm asking you, Jesus, to birth something from them. Birth something from us. We say yes to you, mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to, before we close in song, next week I'm going to be talking about the one question that Mary asked. She said, how can these things be, seeing I'm still a virgin? And I know that here in this room and in each service, we have a representation of young children with parents. And I am delighted that they are here. I'm very happy that they are here. Next week, we're going to be talking about some concepts dealing with conception. I will not be crass. I will not be crude. I may use some vocabulary, specifically a three-letter word that starts with the letter S, that if you have not had certain conversations with your child, you may end up having conversations that you're not ready to at the end of the service. Now, hearing it in church may not be a bad thing, but you may not be ready for it. So I'm just letting you know up front that we will be talking about that concept next week. And I will never be crass or crude, but I still want parents to know that's going to happen next week. And so stand with us if you would. Elders, would you come forward? And if you're in the room today and you need prayer for anything, we're here. Let's pray together and let's see what God will do.